Well, we've been working through the Lord's Prayer or the Disciples' Prayer and how Jesus was teaching that to the disciples. And we're coming round to the end run here of the last parts of the prayer. And so talking about the glory of God, you know, it's funny talking with you about this. I remember growing up in this old church. It was built in the 1800s back in Chicago. And as a kid, we had a balcony in the church. It was sobering to walk in, stained glass windows. Mm-hmm. And little Mark Myers is sitting there taking this in. And literally every time that the service would start, it wasn't like it is today with a contemporary band and all the excitement and joy, joy, joy. Actually, it was started with this thing that where we sang, "The Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent, let all the earth be silent." And as a little kid, I'm back there and I'm thinking, this is how you enter in with God. He's got glory. He's got power. He is awesome. And all of those things are true. But glory for me was scary. It was, I better behave in this room. I better, and parts of that is true. I mean, obviously we take him seriously. Sometimes he's become so flippant or people have become so flippant and Jesus is our buddy. And things like that. I'm glad God loves me. I'm glad Jesus took my place. But for you, Anna Marie, as we're coming to this part in the disciples' prayer, what is the glory? What's God teaching you about his glory? Does that all make sense?
Yeah, it does. Actually, I have a similar experience as a child, you know, growing up in the Catholic Church in Italy. The Catholic churches are just beautiful. There, I mean, they're a work of art.
Yes.
And so, and then with all the, you know, just the priestly robes and the incense, you felt like when you read Isaiah, and you know, and this train filled the temple, mm-hmm. and the seraphims, and you know, and then there was this scary thing after that. But I was unclean.
Yes, and undone. And woe is me.
And woe is me. Yeah. And then this burning coal comes and goes to my mouth. Do you know? You know? And so it was this very, almost frightening.
Sure.
But here Jesus is telling us, when you have a conversation with your Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
Which is what prayer is, so lest we forget that it's not a shopping list or a way to manipulate God. Mm. He's our dad. He's already given us everything that we need. Now, there's lots of things that we want that are not good for us.
Sure.
And he will not give those.
Right.
So we can keep praying and add to the list and try to do it a different way. But God knows what his children need and freely gives them. And the most important thing that he has given to us is himself, that he lives in us.
Yeah.
So Jesus says, now, finishes the prayer with, "And thine is the kingdom." And we talked about the kingdom of God is the rule of God. The kingdom is in us. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom is not something in the future. The kingdom is now. And we are the kingdom, and he's the king, and he lives in us. Okay, so we got the kingdom, and then the power. Well, that's another thing. We have not talked much about that. I'd just like to touch about that a
sure.
little bit, because there's so many powers. And I was thinking of, there is the power of God, naturally. The power that created everything, the power that holds the universe together. You know, we can't describe it. We can't define it. It's we just enjoy it. We
right.
live in it. You know, what keeps our feet on the ground that we don't just, you know, fly off and disintegrate in smithereens? You know, it's just amazing, the power. But an interesting conversation took place between Jesus and Pilate. And Jesus did not answer Pilate when he said, "Well, are you a king?" You know, and so then, you know, it's in John 19. And so it was very interesting that So this is the power that's in the world system. So there's all different kinds of power, but we want to focus on the power that belongs to God. But the power on the earth, this is how it works. So Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you? And Jesus answered and said, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. So there is one power that is really the only power that there is, and that is the power that comes from above. Every other power is a lesser power of insignificant irrelevance.
Right.
And I think when we see that, because we often play this game, there's the power of the devil and there's the power of God. And it's almost like there's these two equal powers,
yeah,
and the two of them are battling, and God is going to win, or maybe I really like, yeah, the devil to win because I want to do what he says right now. So no. We make everything dual.
Yeah.
There is the power of God. He is, amen, the power, and he gives the power, and he has given the power to mankind. Mm. Did that happen in Genesis 1?
Right.
You know, I give you dominion over everything on the earth. And so the verse that I want to go to today, to focus on the glory of God, is in Psalm 8, and it's repeated in Hebrews 2. And every time I see a part of the Old repeated in the New Testament, I pay extra attention to, because the Old Testament is so big.
Yes.
And there is so many prophets, and so many of the prophets were false prophets, and so many of the kings were you know, God worshippers of idols. It's like, I can't sort through all that. It's just too overwhelming for me. But like when Jesus repeats what the true prophets have said, then I go really pay attention. And so this verse is one of those verses, and this is how it reads. What is man that you are mindful of him? Mindful. What is man, or who is man, that your mind is full of him? You're constantly thinking about him. And the Son of Man, this is talking about humanity, that you visit him. And the word visit means give attention to and care for, which visit sounds like, oh, he comes and goes.
Right.
No.
It's a real visit.
It's a visit where he dwells in us. And see, it's talking to John 17, that he lives in us, we're in him, he's in the Father is in us, we're one, we're inseparable. It's Romans 8, that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Right. We're so knit together. It's the body of Christ. You can't fire anybody from the body of Christ. You can't say, you can't be part of the body, so sorry. We can't do that. Mm-hmm. We are part of the body, whether we are aware of it, or whether we're just sacrilegious about it, couldn't care less.
Right.
And, you know, this is who we're created. And so he's our Father. So anyhow, he is in us. He takes care of us. For you have made him a little lower than the angels. And even the word angels is translated Elohim, which is one of the names of God. So we are created a little bit lower than God. I mean, this goes back to image and likeness. We are created in his image, in his likeness. And then the sentence after that is, that blew me away, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. So mankind, humanity, has been crowned with glory. So it's not something that we have to go chase after. God is already given to us like he has given himself. If he gives himself, he gives us his glory. We are created in his image and likeness. We are the reflection of his glory. There's a scripture, and you can relate as a grandfather, in the Proverbs that says that grandchildren are the glory of the grandparents. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you look at your children, and do you not see glory in them?
Amen.
You look at,
yes,
your grandchildren, do you not see? It's like every little thing they do, your heart just swells with like, oh, that's like, I see myself in them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're fresh of my flesh, blood of my blood. And that's how the Heavenly Father feels for us. We already crowned with glory and honor. And we see this more clearly in the life of Jesus. And remember, Jesus came as an example for us. And if we take him as an example, we do very well.
Right.
If we take him seriously as an example, if we take him as He's in us and we're one, we do even better. We are as Christ. We are his ambassadors. So the actual definition of the glory of God is his view, his opinion, and his reputation. As well as his presence, which is, we talked already about the awesomeness of feeling his presence, being aware, knowing that he's in you, he's around you, he holds the whole universe together. But the view of God. So what is the view of God? Well, Jesus, the view of God is just so clearly expressed in the life of Jesus. So at birth, you know, the angels sang glory to God in the highest. At birth, the word that was invisible in the Old Testament, invisible at creation, that just spoke universe into being, becomes flesh and lives inside us. And the angels sang glory to God in the highest and peace on earth and goodwill towards men. It was displayed again at his baptism, where the heavens opened. And the voice was heard, that everyone heard, and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, when God says that, I believe God says that about us too, that we are his beloved. But you know, because we behave so badly, we have forgotten where we came from. We've right. forgotten our origin. We've forgotten that he loves us, that we are truly his beloved. And so, and then we hear the voice again, and to me that's probably a very more significant experience, is when Moses and Elijah appear, and Jesus invites his disciples to be with him on the mountain, and again, there's apparently some conversation going on, and Jesus becomes radiant. Just in light, and the disciples see this and they go, "Whoa, this is amazing. You know, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Let's make three tabernacles." Yeah. You know? And so here we are back. We're going into the construction business. I think sometimes this is what we do with the things that God is showing to us. This is an amazing thing happening here. And the voice of God speaks again. And this time repeats the same message as the baptism. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And then it adds, "Hear him." I love that, in that it directs me to really get focused and aware of who Jesus is. He is God in the flesh, and Moses, bygone. Elijah, bygone. They do not compare. We're not about building a temple. Jerusalem already has one, and it's been taken over by the Romans. You know, what are we going to do? Build another? You know, no, we are the temple. The glory of God is in us. Because he is the glory. And so then what does that look like in our life right now? Of course, the glory is displayed at resurrection, at his ascension, and in the throne room, which is where we are seated right now. Right? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Yeah. We are in him. And he's ruling the kingdom, and we are rulers with him. We were crucified with him, we were buried with him, we were resurrected with him, we were ascended with him, we're sitting. This is our position now as his children. Now, we need to be constantly aware of that.
Right.
Rather than go back to, "Well, Adam messed up, and I messed up, and I'm dragging myself, and I messed up again, I had another nasty thought." You know, we focus on Adam instead of focusing on Christ. And God from heaven in his splendor said, "Hear him, follow him, study him, watch his life, because this is who you are."
Yeah.
You are his image, his likeness. This is your design. This is how you're designed to function. As he did, so are we in this world. Is what the Apostle John says. And he's one of the 12 that I really trust a lot.
Sure.
You know, so I love when I find things in, whether it's the gospel or his tiny little three books are just packed full. And so it's as he is, so are we in this world, it says. So we see, we're thinking, when I die and go to heaven, then I will have the robe of white and the glory. And it's like we're pushing everything to future.
Right.
And we miss living heaven on earth, which is part of the Lord's Prayer.
Sure.
That your will be done, the kingdom, the rule of God be done on earth, that peace was for the earth.
Yes.
Righteousness that is not earned, not by works, is a gift of God for the earth, for us now. Amen. The joy that comes from the kingdom is that righteousness, peace, and joy is for now. It's not for when I die.
Right.
As a matter of fact, there's a newsflash, we may not die. We just go to sleep. The Apostle Paul is very clear not to call death, death.
Right.
Because he knows we have a misdefinition of death.
Right.
So he says, you are an eternal being. When you fall asleep and wake up in glory, it's just like sleeping and waking.
Yeah, it's a transition.
You know,
like
it's
that.
Just, yeah, it's like take a breath, take another breath, and then take a new breath, and you find yourself in a new place.
Yes.
It's just so... So we represent, we're ambassadors. We represent the view, the opinion, and the reputation of God on the earth, as well as display his presence. Mm. This is who we are.
Yes.
Now, we may not feel like it, and we may not think that way, but this is where we have to repent.
Yes.
Repent is changing our thinking and agreeing with God's thoughts, God's view, and God's opinion, and give only that opinion and that view, and forget our opinions. I mean, what do her opinions count?
Right.
They have to be adjusted anyhow. They're misconceptions and misunderstandings of what who we think God is, or who we think we are, or who we think the body of Christ is. And truly, let's just agree. This is what God says. You know, David said it in the Psalms, and the author of Hebrews rewrote it. We saw Jesus in the voice of God opening the sky and speaking. And he's directing to hear Jesus. This is him. This is my beloved. You are also my beloved, and you are my representative on the earth. Now, I have crowned you with glory. I have crowned you with my glory. Now, this is who you are. Now, be who you are. Stop looking for glory.
Yeah.
Stop looking to become someone someday who is better and purer. And you are perfectly accepted and loved by God right now, today, this moment.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost like, if I'm hearing you right, Prince William and Prince Harry, upon birth, were children of eventually leading, they will be king, one of them, or however that plays out. But they have the rights of that. But if Harry walked in, and he's been a wild child
mm-hmm.
in England,
mm-hmm.
And somebody said to him, you've been acting badly.
Yeah.
So you aren't a prince anymore. It doesn't matter.
No.
Because he was born a prince.
Yes.
And we sometimes act like God says, I know you're born and you're my child and things along the line, but we're done. That isn't how it plays out.
No.
It doesn't play
no.
it out in England, and it doesn't play no. it out in God's no. kingdom. So,
no.
okay.
And we could live our entire life, you know, rebellious and not living our inheritance.
Yes.
We can. God
and that's
gives
and we're
us
the ones who miss out.
And we exactly.
Yeah. It's not like it was always there. It's the
yeah.
it's the prodigal son.
It is.
It's always been there. And
yeah.
then we could also live like the older brother and I'm going to keep trying, and I've always been here, and
yeah.
but you never have the complete joy.
But
because,
I've never achieved.
Yeah.
I've never enjoyed my inheritance
mm-hmm.
because it's all been a duty.
Yeah.
I got to go to church.
Yeah.
I got to do this. I got to do that. And we lose the first love that you know we read about in Church of Philadelphia. It said you've done so many amazing works, but you've forgotten your first love. It's all relational.
Yeah.
It's our Father. It's a relationship. And it's not about rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the relationship, we do amazing things. We do the works of God.
Right.
We take care of the poor.
Yeah.
We take care of the sick. We you know, we have compassion towards everyone. You know, we tell the good news. We fellowship at church. Mm. We hear the word of God. We hear him. We actually can sort throughout all the voices that come and really, truly focus on what Jesus says. And this is what we do. This is because this is who we are. So we do out of who we are, right, rather than I do to become whom I think I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, I like that. I know it's a secular saying, but we're not human doings, we're human beings.
Yes.
And it's better that we think that way. Well, you brought us full circle. You start, you were wrapping up with the glory of God, but then you brought us back to our Father again. And so it's a daily prayer. Would you pray for maybe somebody sitting at home or in their car or just next to their phone, and this podcast grabbed their eye? And would you pray for them? Because maybe this would be the start of looking at themselves differently because they're finally seeing how God views them. Mm-hmm. Would you pray for them right now?
Yes, certainly. Father, we thank you that you have created us in your image, in your likeness, and you are an amazing Father. And we want to see you every day fresh as a daddy, a papa, that we are intimately united. Yes, we are. Though we may feel distant at times because of our thoughts or because of our behavior or because of what we have been experiencing from birth or in childhood, because of all the mishaps of life and all the pain that we have experienced, we go, well, Father, where were you in the midst of my pain? If you love me so much, you know, well, we know that you were right there with us. And when we couldn't carry, we couldn't put one step in front of another, you picked up the lamb and you took the lamb out of the thorns and you carried the lamb and you held the lamb and you walked the lamb back to the fold. Mm. And this is who you are. Mm. You are our daddy. And so I pray that by your spirit, you would bring light and illumination to every single one that is hearing this my voice, and it would hear your voice saying, come to me, I am the good shepherd, come to me, I'm your dad. When things are rough, I can carry you when you cannot take another step, and I will carry you until you're healthy and whole, and then I'll set you down by clean waters, mm-hmm. by green pastures, springs of waters, and when you look in the clean waters, you will see your reflection. You will see me and you will see you in you. You will see me in you and you will see who you are. Amen. My image and my likeness. Father, I pray that we would remember our origin, where we came from. Father, I pray that the blindness will just leave, and that the reflections of clear waters would be so clear that we know that we are your children. We are heirs, joint heirs with Christ Jesus, and you have given us everything that we need for life because you've given us yourself and you live in us. We thank you for this amazing, amazing gift.
Amen. Father, we do pray thanking you for Jesus Christ being the full embodiment of your glory. And we pray that we'd hold on to this truth today in Jesus' name.